If the servant does two actions punctually, because now the gathering of dhikr is present, alhamdulillah, and quite a lot of people do dhikr punctually, and they are present here right now. So I am requesting that the situation with the human being, he could be weak. There are so many things for a person, distractions. But if he does two things punctually, and what things? I'll tell you those two things. One is to pray salah in jamaat, congregation. Don't leave this. Jamaat, congregation, always and forms, must pray salah in the masjid, five times salah. One thing. Very, very punctual, regular, in jamaat, in the masjid. If there's an excuse which is accepted by Sharia, that's a different matter. If he is sick, or there are many other sort of conditions. But without any reason, being lazy, laid back, and there's no reason, no, a person should not leave the salah in jamaat, congregation. That's one thing. The second thing is very important for us, is two times, morning and evening, dhikrullah. To be regular and punctual in this. Good thing is, if you attend the majlis physically, that's the best. That's the best. If you come to the majlis, how should you come? That you should have, according to the adab of the majlis, the respect, the gathering of dhikr, from the beginning it starts and it finishes at the finish time. So be careful of this point. It doesn't finish halfway. Oh, get up and you leave and you think you've gathered, or you're coming late and you've joined the gathering. No, you will have lost out. Look, if you come to salah, if the first rak'ah, if the ruku goes, then one rak'ah is missed, isn't it? Although you've come to salah, you're stood there, but this teaches us this salah, the principle, that those who are focused on Allah, and those special barakat, blessings that descend from Allah, then you should start the action from the beginning. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So this is logic of salah. The logic. This is practice. That look, salah, you should, mashallah, salah is full of rahmah, mercy, so many barakat, so many blessings in this ibadah of salah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that a person, he does not join the salah from the beginning. So then the punishment, you could say, or the lost out, you could say, is that one part of salah, then he misses out. What's happened there? Because he's come late. One portion. In the same way, the majalis, the gatherings of dhikrullah, they are so blessed, that no part of the majalis, from the beginning to the end, is not there in which Allah Ta'ala's mercies are not descending. There's no part. Yes, so I'll give you the example. You understand the example? Very good example, salah compared to the majlis, dhikr gathering. So, in salah, five times salah, you should be number point number one. Number two, morning and evening, the gathering of dhikr, majlis. And which majlis is that? From the beginning you should join the gathering, and you should stay there till the end, without any reason, oh, I've got to do this work, then no, not at all. You're wasting the opportunity. And then you missed the rakat of majlis. The rakats have gone. Because these two things, a person has to crush his desires, isn't it? For this ibadah, you have to crush your desires. So these are two actions, salah and dhikr majlis. Praying salah in jamaat regularly, without any excuse that you are sick, you are unwell. And number two, punctual in the majalis, in the gatherings of dhikr. And Allah's, we are thankful to Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Though you are like that anyhow. And it's not difficult for us to do this. It's not difficult. Nothing at all. You pray salah. It's not difficult to pray salah. So what do we need to do? We need to be punctual, regular. And those who are not, then it's very difficult for them, isn't it? Oh, don't know about dhikr, they don't do dhikr, they don't go to the majlis, they're not bad with anybody, hundreds, etc., etc., etc. Same way those who don't pray salah, they don't have the habit of salah, they don't pray salah, they don't read Quran, etc., etc., etc. But it's initially, salah is such an action that there's a unique point here, is that salah is such a deed that a mu'min, he is only a mu'min who prays salah. A mu'min, do you understand what I'm saying? A mu'min, a believer, is only that person who prays salah. The person who does not pray salah, he is not the mu'min. Remember this point today, what I'm telling you. That there is no concept of Islam of not praying salah. That woman, that man, that child, there's no concept in Islam. There's no connection of that person with Islam. Salah represents the Muslim. The salah represents the iman. In other words, another unique point I'd like to share is that this is the biggest disaster of deen, in our deen today, is that if you say something that is very unique angle I'm looking at this from, these are dalail, there are proofs for this, that tabliq, to do tabliq about what? About salah. Prayer to who? To the Muslims. Astaghfirullah. Huh? Did the Sahaba noble companions ever, in their era, did you ever see that they were doing tabliq to others to pray salah? Do you understand? Will you understand what I'm saying? So they, the deen of that person is finished where you are doing tabliq to people to pray salah. Who are we telling to pray salah? The person already has iman, belief. A person who has iman, the iman is fully, completely filled with salah. And vice versa. How many aima have said that murder that person, kill that person, or imprison that person, hadiya there isn't. That person who doesn't pray salah, some say he is a disbeliever. There's no concept in Islam for a man or a woman. And Islam, there is no principle that a person who doesn't pray salah, he has got no part of his Islam inside him. Doesn't matter how long is your bed, you can do dhikr, do hifz of Quran. There's no Islam in that person. Wahid, the first action that a person must do after her iman is salah. How important it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So the person who doesn't pray salah, he's not within Islam. What tabliq are you going to give to that person? Yeah? There's no need to give tabliq to that person. He's recite kalima again, tell that person. Become a Muslim first. Alongside that, you shouldn't have no connection with that person. No relationship. Totally, fully fasik, evil doer is that person. Fisk, he is practicing evil. Yes, and you can say that he's on the boundary of kufr, disbelief. In reality, he is joining on with kufr. Totally, after dying, his condition will be the same. Yes, the person who doesn't pray salah, there's punishment for that. So for this reason, the first thing is what? Salah. First step. If you don't pray salah, thousands of them, you've got ilm, knowledge, and hifz, etc. They have no value in the eyes of Allah. Wahid, first action that you'll be asked is what? Salah, namaz. And not every person is not an alim or a hafiz or a scholar that will be forgiven. No. Allah says, no, my deen is very simple, Allah says. Extremely easy, more easier than this. There's no deen, no religion. There's no mujahidah. No hard work. Understand what I'm saying? So that qawm in that nation, if you see that they're doing tabligh, propagating what? Telling Muslims to pray, then what will be that nation of believers? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. In that nation, what will be left? If you have to tell them to pray salah, encourage them to pray salah, why don't you come to salah? Why don't you come to jamaat? Why don't you come to prayer? That instead of tabligh, you should just wipe that person away. Totally. Has Umar radiallahu anhu's action we should implement. Yes, if he doesn't pray salah, the person doesn't pray salah. He doesn't have iman. So then, a person, if he is praying salah, then it's a big crime for that individual that if he sees his children at home, that what are their conditions at home, how big adab, punishments are descending on our homes. Don't look at food, drink, and don't look at cars and houses, my brothers. Even the people, Fir'aun, and the disbelievers, Thamud, and Ad, and Fir'aun, Nimrud, and other disbelievers had the assets of the world. Allah says, don't look at these things as success criteria if you're looking for happiness. This is istidraj, it's a mirage, it's deception. Look at your homes if you want to see criteria. If you want to see, look at the house. Where is it safe from Allah Ta'ala's punishment? In with the home, every child, elder person is praying salah punctually. Do you understand, will understand what I'm saying? And don't look at anything else. No other criteria, just assess that how much salah is in that home. End of story. Do they pray salah on time? First thing, tarbiyah to your children, education. That, for example, 6-year-old, 7-year-old children, there's no tarbiyah apart from step number one, salah. Take the children to the masjid, and if they're rubbing their eyes, they've woken up, they're sleepy, bring them to the masjid. No let off. Oh, I'm sleepy, I've got to go to school. End of story. Yes, so if you're bringing them up with kufr, the children, we, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, wa qawm, our Muslims are such today that we say, oh, don't pray salah, don't get up, you have to go work in the morning. Allah, curse on this qawm. Qawm, that if we're not picking, waking your children up because you're not going to tell them to pray salah, oh, he's got to go to work, it's too hard for him to go to work, oh, it's too hard. He has to go to work, you know. Yes, is this the case or not? Tell me the truth. Tell me. So in that society, if this is a situation of our deen, then that is an extreme ghadab punishment. Extreme. Allah has given a chance. Has Allah given us a chance, a let off? That Allah says, not for a second, that Allah Ta'ala, if He was to give a shake to this earth, we'd be finished. Yeah, we'd be finished. Allah Ta'ala could do that. Yes, will we see anything existing after Allah Ta'ala's ghazab comes? So when in our life, salah comes out of our life, and iman has gone, and then what is left to that person? He's just kind of understand how to define that person then. Salah is gone, iman is gone, that's azab, punishment. That can any time descend on that person, Allah can wipe that person away. So I am telling you this, not to make you scared, I'm telling you the reality, the facts. I'm not giving tabligh. I'm just against this fact of giving tabligh about salah to people. Understand what I'm saying? I'm extremely against that. It's not tabligh. Allah, that person, end of story, that person. He's finished. He shouldn't be here living. Such a dhalim, oppressor person that he's accepted Allah, believes in Allah, and he runs away from prostration. You have to give tabligh to that person? Oh, praise Allah, please come to namaz, please try. What is this? What is this? The Sahaba, Tabi'in, 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 in none of their houses there was no Jamaat. Did they go around giving tabligh, telling each other to pray Salah? Yes. That you could say, you don't pray those sin, don't drink alcohol. That's in the adat. That's not from iman. That's from habits. Bad habits. That's not from iman. That Salah is part of iman. Salah is part of iman. Other sins, they're habits. But Salah is part of iman. Do you understand? Anyhow. I have stretched this point a little bit, but it's a good point, alhamdulillah, to speak on this, the importance of salah. We shouldn't say, oh no, I'm too lazy, I can't pray. Then you are a disbeliever, oh dhalim, you're not even a believer now. Your hisab will be, if you die, then, and you will cannot be a mu'min, that right now you shouldn't be here. If as Umar radiallahu was here, you wouldn't be here standing. The law of Islam, such an individual, he cannot stay on the land of people who do zina, run after girls, or look at women. That's different. They can't even stay on the world, on the earth, the person who commits sins like this, if we look from the Islamic viewpoint. So it's not tashaddud. This is not extremism. This is the punishments Allah has given to improve society. Why? Because dirty human beings, Allah's ghazab comes, wrath comes, then even the good people, their situation gets spoiled. And Allah Ta'ala wipes them away as well. Such dirty people should not be kept in the society so they affect other people's lives. They look at women and speak to them and do zina physically. That's why Allah Ta'ala has ordered that you got so much lust. Do one or two or three, four, you can get married. But not you looking around for women on the streets and you can't fulfill your lust. Allah says, okay, look for a widow or look for somebody who's in need. Look for somebody who's aged so that your shahawat, that your lust, you don't waste and you don't displease Allah, and then you can complete your desires. Instead of this, that you do wrong actions, and then that person doesn't have a right of staying on the earth. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. We don't know in my house, why has this happened? Why is this happening to my children? Why is this happening? All of this is for that reason that Allah Ta'ala doesn't keep that individual on earth. Allah doesn't keep them on earth. Don't run towards give hifz to the children or teach them ilm or knowledge. This is all what? Desires. Tarbiyah of the children, first and foremost, masjid. Masjid. I remember when I came to Bolton to drop the children very many years ago, 40 years ago, and at Fajr time I used to leave from there. It was a lot of rush, traffic to drop the children there. So I used to see that Ishraq, where shall I pray? And Bolton, I wasn't aware of too much. And somebody said, this Masjid al-Rahman, and it was a house at that time. It wasn't a constructed masjid, it was a house. And I can't give the name of the person who was in charge at that time. And I asked him, I said, can I pray Ishraqi? And he gave me the key. So mashallah, he gave me the key. He said, go, you can keep this key. Whenever you come, you can open the door and come inside and pray Salah. And that mashallah, Allah Ta'ala gave it, he didn't give it. So I used to come easily, nicely, do wudu. I'm just telling you, what's the point? When I saw that he had a young child, and mashallah, he is now, if you see him, whatever he is, I won't tell you. You'll realize yourself. Anyhow, he had a young child, and he's bringing him. And the bathroom, the wuzu area, the washroom, this is the toilet, this is the wudu area, the child is looking, everything. And I used to watch this. And I said, this child, what is he doing with this child? He's bringing this child. He said that he's about to grow up. He's 5 years old now. So I'm introducing him to the masjid. That you do wudu here, you come in the masjid here, you do this here, you do this here. He's introducing the child to the masjid. And when he was 7, 8 years old, then when I had come to Bolton by then shifted, at that time with my eyes, I saw such a beautiful salah. He prayed that child. That I used to get enjoyment seeing him. This is tarbiyah, education. Until today, that child, I know him, mashallah, very beautiful namazi. Pray salah nicely. So, the father, you say, he's great. The education. Because he knew the importance, that salah is important, otherwise the iman will go for my children. Yes, so hifz and that, etc. is afterwards. So, somebody is hifz, somebody is an alim, somebody is not. That's not part of the deen, that's essential. These extra things. But why do we emphasize? Oh no, my son's a hafiz, oh he's a hafiz. Then we push them, go into the prayer mat. Their character's not good, they don't have aqal, they don't have understanding, they don't pray salah. We push them to lead the salah. And there are pious people standing behind zalim. How will you answer for this? That he's leading salah. And they don't know that he doesn't pray salah, that he doesn't follow the sunnah, he does dirty actions. And we push him to the front to lead salah. We have no shame, no fear. That's such a big ibadah of people you are wasting. And we have so much desire for them to stand on the prayer mat. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. This is tarbiyah. I'm speaking for tarbiyah. Yes, to save us, to save you. Who will give the answer? We must correct our niyyah. There's such a great ibadah, salah, that you are spoiling everybody's salah because you love your children. You want them, push them forward to lead the salah. How will you answer for this? How will you answer for this? What deed do we have that we can answer to Allah that we did this correctly? Such hadith and events when a person will be present in the court of Allah, and Allah will question us. The first question when we die after we go to Allah, the first question when our body goes into the grave, and then the ruh goes to Allah. Remember this. The body goes in the grave, the ruh goes to Allah. And he doesn't know anything at that time. And he goes, and he's seeing from above, when he's going above the grave to the heaven, he's looking at his body in the grave, but the ruh is ascending. And they take him up, and he sees as the angels take him up, and they are bathing him. He can see them, the people on earth, they're bathing him, who's crying, what are they saying, who's freaking out. And they say, let me speak to them. They say, no, you can't speak now, that time's gone. The angels say, yes, we're taking you now to your abode. Straight, they're going standing where? At the court of Allah, the ruh. After death. There was one pious predecessor, one of his events. We're getting a little bit late, but no worries. Great muhaddith he was. I can't remember his name now. Great muhaddith, scholar of hadith. He was young. And when it came close to his death, when we called his son, he said, do this, that somehow or other make my beard white. And he put some chemical on, or some fragrance on. They kept on rubbing. And he was a great muhaddith. And he said, "Get my beard white, because my time is about to come." And he tried to make his beard white somehow. Totally white. Totally white. And then he died, passed away. As I said to you, where does the person go first of all? Where does he go after death? Straight to Allah, direct. And then this distribution of where to go. So they took him straight. He was a muhaddith, scholar of hadith. Ulama, respected scholars, probably know his name. So, he went to the court of Allah. He was stood there. And Allah Ta'ala, that time was, you could say, Allah said, "Oh, old man, where have you come from? What have you got?" And he was quiet. "Why don't you speak?" "Quiet. Are you dumb?" "Yes, give, respond to your Rabb, Lord." And he was quiet. This will be our hal, condition, when we will be stood in front of Allah. Can I imagine? Can we imagine that how Allah will speak to us? How will we reply? And he was a great muhaddith, scholar of hadith. And he said, "Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," he read a hadith. "Allah, you are saying to me, speak, I'll speak. What?" And he said, hadathna, and he said, "I heard from this person, from this person, this one." Then he gave the reference, that whoever comes to me with a white beard, I will give that person, I will hide his defects. This is a hadith, isn't it? I will hide his defects. I will give him, treat him warmly. When he read that, Allah Ta'ala was happy. In the hadith, it says that that time when Allah Ta'ala smiles, then consider his hisab has ended. Hisab has ended. So when Allah Ta'ala was happy on his reply, that means his hisab has ended, his reckoning has ended. And according to Allah's glory, status, Allah Ta'ala smiles, Allah is happy, according to his status and glory. So when Allah smiled, Allah said that, sadaqa, sadaqa, when he gave the reference, the hadith, that he has said truth, he has said the truth, he has said the truth, he has said the truth. And your Rabb has also said the truth. Go, I have forgiven you, Allah says. That's it, without hisab. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, straight to the court of Allah, person will go after death. How will we answer for our actions that we don't pray salah? We wasted our salahs. Yes. And we destroy our salah with our own hands. Yes. And we push our children to the front because we love our children. They're not capable. Who is the Wali Allah? Who is the Qutb? Who is the Ghawd? And we have destroyed their salahs, wasted their salahs. Their salah, will you be able to give the hisab for their salah? So valuable are their salahs. And the salahs that when they speak to Allah, and you have destroyed the salah, made it fasid, cancelled it. It's not about whose tilawat is best, melodious, and stand him up. Who told you this? Who told you these points? This is all drama. Taqwa, who has the most? He should be at the front. Taqwa, fear of Allah. He who has that most should be totally, who has khawf, fear of Allah, and his body is trembling. He should stand, and he's representing the Nabi. Not this melodious, nice qiraat recitation. He sounds nice. His qiraat is tajweed. This drama does not run in the deen. No, I don't believe on these points. No. Yes, understand deen. Not this game. If you're upset, you can be upset with me, but I'll tell you the truth. I don't bother. Take an enjoyment, sat down. What's the thawab? What thawab are you going to get? Quran is with amal, practice. That is what is Quran. The hadith is with practice. If you accept haram as haram, unlawful as unlawful, the Quran was revealed, the clear guidance of the Quran tells us what's lawful, unlawful, permitted, not permitted. Not for this playing games with our lives. Understand what I'm saying? So what we're saying, that two actions if we bring into our lives, regularly, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, what do we need? Regularity, punctuality. What do we need? Punctuality. Regular. For coming to the majlis, you need the adab, the manners. Yes, so we do come to the gathering. What's the adab? The comrade at the beginning. Yes, start your car in the beginning in advance. Pray salah in that masjid so that you don't waste any seconds of the majlis. Soon as your shaykh is sat there, you should be present in front of him in the majlis. So that when the angels descend, you are there and all the angels surround you from the beginning. Is this hadith or not? Tell me. And if they come down and spread their wings and you're not there, and then will they surround you with the wings? You're a latecomer. Yes, the rakat's finished. So you're on your own, then pray yourself at the end. Understand the point, the masala, the comparison. Salah, come on time. So when you sit in the majlis, from all four sides will surround you the angels with their wings. And who will envelop you? Allah's rahmah, mercy will envelop you. But if you're not here, you're coming 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, 15 minutes later, where are you? Where will you be at that time? Say subhanallah. So should you come late or should you come on time? Tell me. End of story. You want to work and waste of time because for us we don't have yaqeen, we don't believe in these things. When dunya is in our minds, in our hearts, our lives are full of dunya. We don't care about the akhirah. So these two things, praying salah on time in jama'at, in congregation. And number two, morning and evening gathering of dhikr with adab. And when it starts, you're there and you're there at the end. Whoever does these two things regularly, punctually, remember this. From the hadith it's proven, the person who does these two things regularly, punctually, alhamdulillah, from Allah Ta'ala this good news, that person, Allah says, I will forgive that person. That's the end of story. So this is deen. Guaranteed, if an action is regular on these two actions, Allah will save that person from the sins. Allah will save that person from the sins. Allah will save from haram, from all wrong. Because Allah has promised that a person who does these two actions, these two qualities, then how will he do sins? If Allah has guaranteed forgiveness, the angels will stop him from sin. His heart will turn from the sins. He won't think about sins. And Allah Ta'ala will continue to assist him with an excuse to turn him away from sinning. But we have got to that bank, mashallah, alhamdulillah, with the manat, with the hard work of the awliya Allah. You've got salah in your life and you've got dhikr, mashallah. So what is that? But you have to be regular, punctual. That's it. Punctual, but we take shortcuts. And if somebody show me that they're punctual, then mashallah you can get the good news from Allah. The whole day, if you can guarantee to Allah that you look after your, Allah will look after your deen, your hereafter, save you from sins, from bad actions, from evil, Allah will give you honor, dignity, respect in the world, everything you'll get. Understand what I'm saying? So this is the message that I wanted to give it to myself. I'm also like you. I also need to work hard. I have to do istiqamah. I have to be steadfast. Wallahi, after meeting my sheikh, I adopted these two actions in my life. After I met my sheikh. Hazrat Sahib, mashallah, what a great sheikh. His whole jamaat was sitting there. Hazrat Sahib with pride looked to me and said, this is my young student who's working hard. He's mashallah, these are words written on gold until today. That mashallah, Hassab talking about his jamaat. Mubarak, I got after that. Congratulations. Mashallah, ulama were there, mashaykh. That, yaar, you are successful. Good news has come to you from Hazrat. That he has hinted that this person here, he has started the work, he's making the effort, he's got the dhikr, he's on the path to success. Is this the case or not? So you also, I would like to make you like this as well. Just like I was mad and I followed the path and I was mad for the dhikr of Allah. Become mad in love. Where are you coming? Where are you going dhikr? Where are you coming from dhikr? Why are you doing dhikr now? Why are you doing dhikr all the time? Have you got nothing else to do? I said, no, I've got nothing else to do. Just dhikr. Namaz dhikr, namaz dhikr, namaz dhikr. That's love. Say subhanallah. That's it. And when we die, then who will take us? The angels up to where? Allah will say, who's come? And they will say, I've come. Allah will say, open the door. Why have you brought him to me? Take him to success. That's it, take him. That he's already, his hisab has happened. Take him to Jannah. His house is made already. Take him there. See what a great place Allah Ta'ala has sent you here. How grateful we should be, grateful, so thankful we should be that, oh Allah Ta'ala, you have given us the ability to do dhikr, you have given us the majlis, the gathering, morning and evening, you have given us a shaykh, doesn't matter how we can say we don't hold him in high regard, you have given us tawfiq to pray salah, we've got both things. Allah, please give us regularity as well, punctuality. Allah, this shaitan take out from inside us, this laziness, this is nafs. What is this? Base desires. Take this out, Allah. And just so I can follow your instruction. End of story. There will be no disturbance. Morning you will come. All day you've got to do the work. Dunya, drive taxi, business, trade, enterprise. Keep doing. In the evening come back to the gathering. Sit down again. 30 minutes sit down. Then go to sleep. and you fulfill your whole sleep all night. After that, nobody says to you, pray tahajjud, read this, do that ibadah. Okay, the more sugar you put into the tea, then the tea will get more sweet. If you can do the extra bonus, make it more sweet. If you pray tahajjud, alhamdulillah, your maqam will go higher. But there's no condition, there's just two conditions. The high level of forgiveness, pray salah on time, and dhikrullah morning and evening. Morning and evening. Will you do this, my brothers? So have we got some understanding now, aqal? Tell your children the same thing. Give them this tartib and education. Get shaitan at the house, pray salah in the jamaat. Tell your children to pray salah, otherwise they're the same. They cannot stay in the world if there's Islamic law. No one child, that Allah Ta'ala will wipe them away. Yes, the sword of Faruqi, it will come. That these people, they're not believers, they're murtad, disbelievers in your homes. They should even shake their hand. Don't give them food to eat. I'm talking about Islam to you, Sharia, Islamic law. It's not me, my desires. I'm telling you Sharia. All Aimmah scholars have agreed on this. The person who doesn't pray Salah, this is his conclusion. His consequences, I'm telling you. It's not my decision. It's not Mufti Sahib. It's Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. All the Mujtahideen. They all agree that that person has not got Iman if he doesn't pray Salah. Yes. Okay. Okay, recite the Rushdie.